You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Stephen Powell, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel in the studio. A good day to look forward to as well, with a fantastic card at Ascot, a couple of Grade 2s and a listed race on their card. We also have National Hunt Racing from Uxeter and All Weather Racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell on Friday afternoon, and the usual Friday evening fair of All Weather Action at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, Mark. Looking forward to a great weekend's racing.
Yes, good couple of days coming up at Ascot. So we'll start with a little bit of a look ahead to some of the highlights this weekend at Ascot. We've got the likes of the Long Walk Hurdle and we've got the Ladbroke as well, Craig. We'll start with the Long Walk Hurdle. A lot of talk around Thistlecrack against Sapphire de Rere, and the market's changed quite interestingly over the past couple of days, because Thistlecrack is now 15-8 favourite. Sapphire de Rere 2-1, 4-1 for Rev de Civilla, Deputy Dan 12s with Tagliatelle, and 14s or bigger for the others. So Thistlecrack is the one that is the most popular.
Yeah, he's the most unexposed, and he's the up-and-coming horse in the race, Mark, isn't he? He was impressive when he won at Newbury on his return. You know, I don't know how to evaluate that form, to be honest, because there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that Cole Harden and Whisper failed to give their running on that occasion, and Deputy Dan, you know, was the only one to really challenge Thistlecrack, and he pulled away comfortably in the end under Tom Scudamore. So, you know, I don't want to get too carried away with that form. It was another step in the right direction, and it was a personal best on what he achieved as a novice last year. But for me, you know, he still needs to improve again to beat the likes of Sapphire de Rere, who, of course, you know, we know is just as good over hurdles as he is over fences, as he proved last year when finishing second to Cole Harden in the stairs at Cheltenham. So we've seen Paul Nicholls, you know, use this angle in the past, big bucks. When he got beaten in a Hennessy, they brought him back to hurdles. He went on to win the stairs hurdle. And Sapphire de Rere is only a six-year-old. I think he's got the stronger form in the book at this stage. Thistlecrack may improve past him. He may improve again on Saturday, but you know, for the moment, Sapphire de Rere definitely has the strongest form in the book. But let's not forget the old boy Rev de Civilla, winner of this race last year, when he produced a remarkable effort, Mark, to reel in Zakanda on that occasion. And you just never write this lad off. You know, he's getting on now. He's nearly turning 11. And there's a couple of younger, more progressive horses in the race. But you just do not write Rev de Civilla off. But if forced into a selection, it would have to be Sapphire de Rere. Paul Nicholls' hurdlers bounced back with a double on Wednesday. So that was a huge positive for the yard.
All right, Sapphire de Rere for Craig then in the Long Walk Hurdle. We also have the Ladbroke on the card on Saturday as well. Jolly's cracked it, a 4-1 favourite. 5-1 for Winner Massago. Renetti 12-1 with Sort It Out and Stern Rubin. Waxy's Dargle another at 12s. 14-1 for Zarib. Galitzi is 16-1 with Hurricane Hollow and Some Plan. Unanimite another one at 16-1 and 20-1 are bigger prices for the others. Any opinion there yet, Craig?
I was very impressed with Winner Massago, Mark. He looked a well-handicapped horse when he won here at Ascot last time. The handicapper has put him up £12 for that, but he's only a four-year-old, he's improving. Alan King has got a good record in this race, and he would definitely have to be on the shortlist. The other one that interests me at the moment is Waxy's Dargle for Noel Mead. Thought that was a really good performance, finishing third to Old Guard in the Greatwood Hurdle at Cheltenham. So, it's a race I need to get stuck into in more depth, but those were the two that top my shortlist certainly at the moment.
All right, so we've got those to look forward to on Saturday at Ascot. We're also going to look ahead to Friday's card in a moment or two. But before I get to that, Craig, just quickly want to get your thoughts on the William Hill King George VI Chase as well. Big news of the last day or so is that Coney Gree will not run. There's talk of him even being out for the season. But that leaves us with Don Cossack at the top of the market, 9-4. Vettori's 3-1. 4-1 cue cards. Silviniaco Conti 7s. 8-1 for Smad Place with a run. 14-1 for Jack Adam. Alfaroff and Don Polly are both 16s. And 25s or bigger for the others. A little bit sad that we won't see Coney Green action at Kempton, but still a potentially cracking race, that, isn't it?
It is, Mark. You know, I have to say, I think Coney Green's been poorly campaigned this year. I mean, you cannot help injury regardless of, you know, what races he was entered to run in. But when the £1 million bonus was put up for grabs, there was one horse that stood out as an outstanding candidate for the Betfair Chase, King George on Kempton, where he proved himself in a novice event last year, and the Gold Cup. Conagree was the one. I thought he was the likely to target those three races. You know, he wasn't even entered for the King George. If he was going to take his chance, had he been 100% fit, he would have needed to have been supplemented. So just a shame. You never like to see the good horses injured, and hopefully he bounces back to his best. But this is going to be, you know, the second lengthy layoff in his career. And you just wonder how much it'll take out the horse, you know, this time around. So, you know, we wish Connections well, and hopefully he comes back as good as ever.
Hopefully so. As the race stands at the moment then, it's interesting, isn't it? Don Cossack obviously looks tailor-made for the King George. A few question marks about Vettori going right-handed. He did jump left-handed quite often last time, and Willie Mullins though dismissing that. He says he's not bothered about the track, and he thinks Vettori's got a good chance.
Yeah, I don't see it really as a huge problem. You know, the form, you know, Vettori and Don Cossack both produced their best performances at the Cheltenham Festival in March. You know, one obviously winning the JLT, and Don Cossack finishing third in the Ryanair. So, you know, those were two massive performances. Not a lot between them at all on the form book. Vettori, of course, only a six-year-old. And you look back at previous six-year-olds to win this race, Mark, Kicking King, Long Run, and of course Cato Star, and all those horses went on to win a Gold Cup the following March. So very interesting stat there for Vettori. I think he's a class horse, Vettori. I think he's open to a little bit more improvement, and if he does straighten his jumping up going right-handed, he's the one I would want to side with. You know, I would have him favourite in my book at this stage of proceedings.
Right, okay. Interesting. Where does Q-Card fit into all this for you? Because he's obviously in a much better place than he was last year.
Yes, he is, Mark. But this is his fourth go in this race. He's finished second once and fifth twice. And, you know, okay, he was a little bit below par last year. But, you know, he's come into this race in good heart in the past. And if anything, this looks a much stronger renewal this time around. I just don't think he'll be good enough. You know, I think the likes of Don Cossack and Vettori are very, very, you know, fast and proven horses, and I think they'll just have too much for Q Card. But hopefully, you know, he gives his running and he can make it a real, you know, race to remember.
And Silviniaco Conti, the winner of the last 2 years,
yeah,
as well.
Of course, let's not forget about him. And he's obviously going to be helped as well by Conigree coming out, because there was likely to be a competition for the early lead, but with Conigree out, looks like Silviniaco Conti could get his own way at the head of affairs once again.
But Vettori for you at the moment?
Vettori for me, yeah. 3-1, did you say there in your prices?
Yeah, 3-1, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair.
All right, good stuff. That's some of the stuff to look forward to over Christmas and this Saturday, but it's about time we start concentrating on Friday's action. Craig's got four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, what we're going to do is look at three races at Ascot and one at Southwell on Friday. We start in the 120 at Ascot, which is the Happy Retirement Champion Court Novices Limited Handicap Chase, a Class 3 event over 2 miles and 192 yards. 9 of them in the lineup here, Craig. Who's caught your eye in the 120?
I like Inkmaster here, Mark, making his chasing debut for Philip Hobbs. Thought he went through that handicap hurdle at Cheltenham last time like a very good horse. He just never had the speed in the latter stages of that race over hurdles against more speedier types. If you like, he's definitely got the size and the scope to improve. Now he jumps a fence. And he starts out in a handicap here from his hurdles, Mark, of 122. I think he could be very, very well handicapped, and I think he'll take all the beating. And I think he could be a very good bet in the 120 at Ascot on Friday.
Ink Master a good bet then. What's your main worry in there, main danger?
Ozzie Thomas has obviously got to be the main worry. He ran very well at Ludlow last time. So Valentino, who beat him on that occasion, won off a £7 higher mark on Wednesday. So he's franked that form already. There was well clear of the third on that occasion. Ozzie Thomas himself has gone up £3 in the handicap. He continues to improve. He's only a five-year-old. But I do think Ink Master could be quite some way ahead of the assessor now he's sent over fences.
Ink Master then for Craig in the 120. The 155 at Ascot is the Supreme Trial Novices Hurdle. It was registered as the Kennel Gate Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2 contest over just short of 2 miles. Field of five here, Craig. We're going to have a pretty short price favourite, I imagine, in the shape of Yanworth, who was a good bumper performer last year and 2 from 2 over hurdles now.
Yeah, he's an exciting horse for hurdles. I mean, we didn't see a lot of him, did we, at Exeter because of the gloom and the mist on that occasion. He won on the bridle when we seen him jump in the last. And then he produced another polished display to win at Warwick last time. Again, that form was franked yesterday with the second La Prisienne winning at Ludlow for Paul Nichols. You know, he quickened away nicely at Ludlow, so... He looks a useful performer, Yanworth over hurdles. He's carried on, hasn't he, from where he left off in bumpers. I think you probably have too much speed for all set to go. He was impressive at Soville. I mean, I don't know exactly what was in behind on that occasion, but he couldn't have done it any easier. He's an exciting horse, all set to go. He's obviously got more experience on the flat, being trained in Ireland by Andrew Oliver. And I think he'll give Yanworth a race, but... I think Alan King's charge may just have too many guns for him on this occasion.
All right, Yanworth to get the better of all set to go then in the 155. The 230 at Ascot is the third race we look at. This is the Mighty Novices Chase. It's registered as the Noel Novices Chase, a Grade 2 contest over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 6 of them in the lineup here, Craig, and several of them arrive here in winning form as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love the way Thomas Brown jumped on his chasing debut round here, Mark. It was an excellent round of jumping. And if anything, now he steps up in trip, there's going to be even more improvement to come. He was an exciting horse last year. He disappointed in the Arbor Bartlett and finished 6th Thistle Crack in the Grade 1 at Aintree. But coming back this year, Novice Chasing, he was fantastic. You know, he's such a big horse. He made jumping look so effortless on his chasing debut. And I think he'll take the world of beating up in trip. Obviously, La Mercury is a big danger. There's more improvement to come from Paul Nichols' charge. He was just a shade too keen on his chasing debut at Plumpton. And, you know, there was a real race on with Violent Dancer. But when he needed a big jump at the last, he produced it under Sam Twiston Davis. And he found enough for pressure in the running. You know, that was a good performance considering how hard he had pulled in the early part of the race. So if he settles a bit better with that freshness out the way, then he's also open to a fair bit of improvement. But Thomas Brown is going to be a tough nut to crack. He's an exciting novice chaser, and I just love the way he jumped round on his debut.
Thomas Brown, the selection for Craig in the 230, and we finish off in the 320 at Southwell. This is a Class 4 handicap over 2 miles, 8 of them in the lineup here. And just a reminder as well, throughout December we're offering money back second at selected meetings. Southwell is the meeting of choice on Friday, so if your horse finishes second, you get your money back as a free bet up to £25 in races with 5 or more runners. So do take advantage of that. As far as the 320 goes, Craig, who'd you like in there?
The Quarter Jack is the one for me, Mark. He's only gone up £2 for his last course and distance win, and he's the one with proven form over this trip on this surface. There's a couple here come into the race in good form. The likes of Frosty Berry, who completed the hat-trick last time, but she now has a stamina to prove up another couple of furlongs in trip. And there's also a couple of horses making the Fibersand debut. One of them obviously represents the powerful McAppleby yard, and you presume that the mare's probably had a couple of spins around the track prior to having a first race here. But on all known evidence here, the Quarter Jack is the one that looks the most solid, up £2 for that latest success over course and distance.
Okay. As usual, Craig, let's just have a little bit of a summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Sure, Mark. The best bet for me of the four is Ink Master in the 120. Looking forward to seeing him over fences. In the 155 at Ascot, we're going for Yanworth to complete the hat-trick. In the 230, Thomas Brown to go back-to-back wins here at Ascot over fences. And finally, in the 320 at Soville, the Quarter Jack for Luke Morris.
Superb. Good work, Craig. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. Stephen Powell, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel will be the team in the studio. It's good racing to look forward to at Ascot. We also have Jumping From Uttoxeter and All Weather Racing at Southwell on Friday afternoon, and two evening meetings, the usual All Weather Fair on a Friday evening from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.